you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Rob Artigo here, your guest host for another edition of the Tough Things First podcast with Ray Zinn. I'm a writer and entrepreneur in California. Being invited back is always a pleasure. Ray, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. Appreciate you taking the time with me today and doing another great podcast.
Your decades of experience in the silicon chip industry, I suppose you've manufactured all over the world and built alliances as well as products with companies in multiple countries for single production, probably. Fair to say?
Yep, absolutely.
You didn't start out offshoring, but at some point it made sense. If I'm a small business or a growing operator here in the Bay Area, and I'm getting peppered with questions about costs, not pressured about making a cost change, but I'm being asked about it, where am I at in the process of deciding when to offshore?
Well, you look at your costs. That's the first thing, and find out, can I get the same equivalent quality and service by doing some offshoring or complete offshoring, depending upon the kind of product or business you're in. And so once you've decided that, once you said, yes, I can benefit from offshoring, then you have to look at where do I offshore? Where do I go? And of course, with me at Mike Krell, I always favored those countries and those peoples that were friendly to the United States. In other words, I would not want to offshore in to a place where there was conflict between the country and our country. Because I know that could be short-lived, as you would, in my offshoring. Offshoring is expensive to the extent once you set it up, it's, you know, to bring it back is not easy. But I would never offshore, to a country where there was political conflict between the, where I am and the offshoring country is.
If I'm looking at my product and it'd be impossible to just come up with an example of something, I suppose, that would make sense for the purposes of this conversation. But sometimes the product has multiple parts, and sometimes it's a single product that's manufactured on an assembly line using your wafer separator, for example, puts the product on there. You know, it's all part of very high-tech stuff. But if you have these different products, and some things are done in one spot, but some things are maybe done in multiple spots for the purposes of bringing them all together, it can be very complex. And how do I know when I'm prepared to be able to reach out to those different countries and make it work so that it is an advantage? Like you said, offshoring can be expensive, and it could end up being a mistake if you do it wrong.
Well, various countries are known for their various expertise. Like India is known for its software capability. Malaysia and Southeast Asia are known for their manufacturing, low-cost manufacturing. So it's that sort of, and then Israel is well known for their technology, their creativity, their inventiveness. And so other countries, they have their expertise. And so you tend to go to the countries where there is that built-in expertise, or at least the countries are favoring that particular expertise. If you just go to a country just because they got low-cost labor and they don't have the expertise that you need, you know, your costs are actually going to go up.
I suppose that there are no guarantees against intellectual property theft when you're doing your offshoring activities, but what kinds of things can I do to mitigate those types of problems?
That's like, you know, locks are to keep the honest people honest. They're not going to keep the thieves honest. I mean, if the thief wants to break into your house, he's going to break into your house where you got 10,000 cameras and locked doors everywhere. You want to go to a country where they're known for their integrity and that they're not going to be, or that their laws also favor integrity and protection of your IP, Again, if you're going just to cut your costs and you're not taking into consideration the political environment, the reputation of that country for its honesty and integrity and protecting your IP, you're going to lose in the long run.
And like you said, again, underscoring the fact that it can be expensive, because if you lose your intellectual property and it ends right. up being, if it ends up being sold on some knockoff website somewhere, then, you know, you're not getting anything out of it. And except for being the person who did all the hard work to create it, just so somebody else could take advantage of it and sell it for a cheap price. And is it a matter of networking, reaching out to the people you know, and then finding out who they're dealing with and who they trust? Or how do I get there so that I know that I can trust the people that I'm going to use in these other countries?
Well, you can visit those countries that you intend on implementing your offshoring. You can also talk to other companies that offshore there and get their experience. So there's a lot of homework you can do. I mean, with all the social media and the press that's around the world, are because of the internet, we're so well connected and interconnected that it's almost impossible not to know and understand the country you're doing business with. You know, how many countries that you can think of right now that are enemies to the U.S. that if you were to go there, you might even be kept there. In other words, you may not be able to even leave. So, you know, you go to places where they're friendly to us or to your particular, if you're an entrepreneur in India, then, you know, or in wherever you are, an entrepreneur in Germany, England, you know, make sure that the countries that you're offshoring with are friendly to your particular country.
And if you haven't done all that due diligence, don't even bother, right?
Exactly. Because
if you step into something, you're going to step into something that you are not prepared for. If you don't know the laws of dealing with those countries or the costs of doing business with those particular countries, even, I mean, I think of Iran, you know, American businesses simply just can't do business with Iran because there are restrictions there. And if mm-hmm. you go to a place where you don't know, I mean, Iran might be an obvious one, but there might be another country out there that there is a restriction regarding. And if you don't know that, then shame on you for just not having done your homework.
Yep. Whatever country you decide to offshore with, make sure that there's going to be a long-term relationship there and that your intellectual property will be protected and that there's not going to be a political unrest in a near future.
All right. Smart decisions will help you in the long run for sure. Right, Ray?
Absolutely. Think smart or pay later.
That's right. Join the conversation at toughthingsfirst.com. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Make sure you rate this podcast and follow Ray on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Thanks again, Ray.
Thank you, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.